I got shooters touch. Can't nobody ball like me.
I was getting a lot of no letters. And I kept some of the letters because it was like motivation for me.
I was young in my coaching career. I did know that those guys I was coaching, this was their one opportunity.
If you really want the players to like you, just make them better.
If I want to keep playing this game, you know, as a job, I have to continue to get better at that.
You have to figure out a way to carve out some value that you have that you can bring not only to your team but also your profession.
It's really good information, and I pick up little nuggets all the time.
For me, it's all about confidence, man. You have to have confidence to be a shooter, to be a basketball player in general, to have success. It's all about confidence. If they walk a mile in my shoes, then they can ball like I do. But my game different, not the
same with it. I travel now, y'all just change pivots. Shooters, welcome back to another episode of the Shooters Touch Podcast. If this is your first episode, welcome. We're excited you're here. Thanks for listening. We appreciate you joining along in this journey as we try to change the game of basketball one story at a time here in our great state of Iowa. Today is no different. We have an awesome guest with us today. Katie Denebier of the Drake Bulldogs comes on to talk about the first half of the Missouri Valley season, but also her transition into that position as a starting point guard from her freshman year last year, and even a little bit of a transition from a coaching staff with her commitment and then her ultimately getting on campus. And so we reminisce a little bit about the Waukee days and the state championship, and we just have a lot of fun. She's a smart kid that seems to be well on her way, and we're excited to follow the journey. As always, Shooters Shoot. Fourth quarter down 3, need a 2-1, better
call on me, better call on me. If you know you need... Shooters, welcome back to another episode of the Shooters Touch Podcast. With us today is Katie Denebier with the Drake Bulldogs. Katie, welcome to the podcast.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Yeah, we're excited to hear your story and learn a little bit more about you. You guys are coming off a little bit of a tough road stretch here at SIU, which you got a win, and then lost to Missouri State on Saturday. And then leading up to the big rematch with you and I. And so what are your thoughts? How are your feelings right now with where the team sits currently third in the conference with an opportunity with a good win on Wednesday to slide back up into that number two spot?
Yeah, I mean, coming off this weekend, you never want to lose one game, but getting one win on the road is good. So that's a good start. We're really just starting to click. And I think you can tell too on the court, like we love each other. We love having fun together. And like, we just all are each other's biggest fans, coaches and players. So that's what's been most fun as we start to grow as a team, especially heading into the second half of this conference season. But yeah, I mean, I have full belief in this team. We're sitting third. Obviously, we still have a lot of work to do and we have a lot to learn, but we've started really good, have played pretty much every game close. Like, it's not like we're losing by 20. So that's been good. We've been competitive and getting back after it. We had Sunday off, so getting back after it today has been really fun, and just like seeing everyone, how competitive everyone is. And we don't take the loss to Missouri State very lightly. So we got a chip on our shoulders and we're ready to play, and we've made some adjustments and we're excited.
Yeah, so I'll say there's been a huge difference between last year to this year. Obviously, last year was a huge transition year. You know, you being a freshman, but just coaching staff, and just a ton going on. And it felt like, you know, there were some growing pains with that. But it's amazing here in year two how all of you have kind of synced up rather quickly, because it wouldn't be unusual to see that carry over into the second season. But I would say for the most part and everything that I've seen you guys, you really are kind of starting to find your flow and your groove, not only in some of your lineups and your roster changes and game to game and some of your adjustments that you're able to make, on top of obviously overcoming an injury with, you know, starting guard Megan Meyer as well. I mean, you guys just continue to kind of plug and play and show up. And like you said, compete. I mean, every game, it's not easy. The Valley is a tough league, but you guys are showing up and you're competing and giving yourself an opportunity to win.
Yeah, it's been really cool, especially with Taylor McCauley stepping in. It's been fun to see her grow too. And I mean, it really hurts having Megan out because she's such a phenomenal player and person on and off the court. And that really stinks, but she's done a great job of leading off the court on the sideline, being another coach, and then having Taylor step in, and she's really finding her role. She's great on both ends of the floor, scoring and on defense. She's so long. So she's been a really nice addition to have in that starting lineup too.
She, you mentioned she's long. Her wingspan, I'd be interested to know. It's crazy. She gets her, she tips so many passes, and it makes a huge difference with, you know, the little bit of that zone matchup zone that you guys play, because you're kind of out pestering, and then she's tipping passes on the back end, and it can definitely cause fits for a lot of teams. And so that has been a really cool and neat adjustment. What do you think for you personally, going from your freshman year, probably felt a little bit of deer in the headlights. Obviously you had a really successful high school career. We'll get to that, but college is no joke. And so what do you think the improvements that you've been able to make? Cause it's obvious that you're twice the player even that you were last year. And so what are some of the things that you've been able to do?
Yeah, I think just really upping my communication and really stepping into that role of point guard and kind of just like getting my footing of flowing with the offense, having more of like a pass cut read and react offense rather than playing for attack and it's all dribble drive. So just really like kind of stepping into that, setting people up, being that steady force, especially from last year. I kind of had Maddie Peterson to lead on. So this year, not really having anyone, like just kind of really stepping into that role of being more so of a leader, and just being able to be that steady factor for our team.
Yeah, I would agree with that. That's a huge difference. I mean, being able to kind of just being thrown in the fire, because it's, hey, Katie, you got to go out there and take care of the ball. Otherwise, you know, I mean, that's it. You're it, you know? And so you got to kind of figure it out. And like I said, you've done a nice job adjusting to that position in that role. And I'm anxious to see how you continue to grow. With that, let's take a look at Wednesday. So the big rivalry, obviously the last matchup was one for the ages. Didn't come out on your end. Obviously not what Bulldog fans were looking for, but myself included, was a lot of fun to be in the Knapp that night. It was a fun, high energy game back and forth. And so what going to the McLeod is going to change things a little bit, but what are you anxious about? And ultimately, what do you guys hope to be able to do to come away with a win in Cedar Falls?
Yeah, gosh, first of all, like you said, that home game against you and I, that's phenomenal. So thank you to our fans that show out to that game, because it's so nice having everyone there and cheering us on. Really makes a difference. Looking ahead to Wednesday, I think, looking back on the first game we played against you and I, we have a lot of adjustments and really just kind of adapting to their defense and not letting them slow our pace. That's one of our biggest strengths, is pushing the ball and really getting teams to move and be off balance. So I think looking to Wednesday, just really playing our game, not so much worrying about them or Maya McDermott or Grace Buffelli, both phenomenal players, but I think just really focusing on us. And I think the game will flow in our favor if that's the case. I think we just have a lot of adjustments to make, and we really have been at practice working on that and working through that, so that's been good.
Yeah, I mean, it's little things. Obviously you guys were right there, lost at the buzzer, and so it's not, you don't have to reinvent the wheel, but you know, maybe a few less turnovers, taking care of the ball a little bit more in the half court, and you guys will be right there and have an opportunity to come away with a really nice win, as I mentioned earlier too, then would slide you up with you and I for a second place in the Missouri Valley moving forward here. And so that would be big. And it's Drake, you and I mean, come on, it's one of the best matchups you guys play all year. So gotta be excited for that, and an opportunity to make a short trip up to Cedar Falls. But let's jump back a little bit. I want to talk high school, but not only high school, but growing up. When do you remember that basketball kind of became a thing, and or you fell in love with the game?
Yeah, so growing up, which I guess recently a lot of people have learned, I was a gymnast, and I did that up until fourth grade. I would get out of school starting in first grade, I'd get out of school at 1:30 to go to practice every night, and kind of just got tired of gymnastics. I started getting hurt and had to throw in the towel in that. My dad and my brother would always play basketball in the front yard, but me being a gymnast, I had no hand-eye coordination, and I couldn't shoot a ball. I didn't know what a shooting form was. I didn't know anything about basketball. So it was really my dad, my brother. My dad would go play in the Y League, so that I'd always like feel like I was missing out. Like, my dad and my brother playing basketball, and then me and my mom on the gymnastics side, more artsy side. So really just seeing them play, went out to join them one day and instantly started playing with the neighbor kids, playing my brother one-on-one. And so, you know, like, kind of just fell in love with the game then, and just being involved in the basketball world. I don't know. After that, it was just in the gym every day. Like, I'm sure I was a pain to that first basketball coach. I couldn't shoot. I couldn't dribble. I probably dribbled it off my foot more than I actually dribbled it on the court. But yeah, fourth grade kind of just fell in love with it. And ever since then, that's just been all I've done, all I've ever wanted to do. So
that's great. So fourth grade. So with the transition out of gymnastics, you pretty much went right over and said, let's try this basketball thing.
Yeah.
Is that right? Yeah, that's awesome. And then, so did you play like with your Waukee, like some neighborhood kids, or did you go into, when did you kind of start the club scene?
Yeah, so we played just with the local Waukee team under Alan Jones, and he was a phenomenal coach, really taught me everything. I mean, kudos to him, because he turned me into a basketball player. Lord knows how. So really, I credit all my basketball success to him. But no, so played with a neighborhood Waukee team until eighth grade. I didn't start playing club until my sophomore year of high school. I tore my ACL my freshman season in December, so took that year off of AAU ball and then started playing for Attack 10th grade.
Oh, that's interesting. That answers one of my questions then too, because I going back and looking at your high school season, your freshman year, I noticed that you only played in two games. And so I was going to ask what, because I can't remember specifically, but that must have been the knee is why you only had the two. So was it two games early in the year, or was it two games at the end?
First two games of the season, yep. And then that Sunday, hyperextended my knee in practice. Tried to practice the next Monday because I was told it was my hamstring. I'm like, yeah, I'll be fine. You know, I'll just shake it off. And then it really ripped my knee that time. So,
wow.
Yeah. So then I was out for all of high school season and then all of AAU season my freshman year.
So it was torn. You tore it, or what was the injury?
Yeah, I tore my ACL, and then I also tore my medial and lateral meniscus.
Ouch. And so that ends up, was that like 9-12 months recovery time?
Yeah. Yep. So then I ended up just, I mean, I wasn't going to be back in time for AAU anyways. It was, yeah, in December. So I just ended up recovering over the summer, and I was back to full speed probably by October-ish, right when sophomore year started for high school. Sophomore.
Good. So after, yeah. Were any other sports? Did you have any interest? Did you run track, or did you do anything else?
Yeah, so growing up, I did softball, track, swimming. I was a big swimmer for a while. Yeah, I feel like I tried just about anything. But right when high school started, just basketball. That's all it was.
So do you think gymnastics had an impact on your basketball game and athleticism and some of the specifically, I mean, one of your fortes is defense. Do you think that played a big role in that?
Oh my gosh, yeah. I wouldn't go back and change anything. I credit a lot of my success to gymnastics and just having that really like mentality and competitiveness and drive from gymnastics. I mean, a lot of people overlook it, but it is really hard mentally and physically. I mean, we would have hour and a half conditioning every day where we'd work on abs, we'd work on legs, we'd work on arms, and it'd just be straight conditioning. And as a first, second, third, fourth grader, that's a little intimidating, but I mean, it really, really, really sets you up for success.
Yeah. As a parent of four, gymnastics and soccer are two things I know nothing about, but I fully support from that standpoint, because I feel like, man, these kids are going to become better athletes from, you know, playing these two sports, running around, you know, balance, ability. And so those are two of the sports that it feels like, yeah, start them young, and you know, if they love it and they want to keep doing it, great. If not, you know what, there was some good that came out of that. And so, all right, well, let's fast forward then back to that sophomore year. So going into your sophomore year, all right, here we go. It's time to get some varsity basketball going. You guys have a good squad. What do you remember most about that sophomore year, your real first year on the varsity level?
Yeah, gosh. I mean, just blessed to be at Waukee and being able to play. So that was incredible. I'd say for me, that was definitely an adjustment year. I think coming off of my ACL, I was still – a little emotionally, like kind of like not trusting my knee 100%. I don't know. I feel like that first year I wasn't really myself until AAU season hit, and then kind of got back into my groove a little bit. But for me, like, defense is one of the things I'm known for now. And I think that's really my sophomore year is kind of where that excelled a little bit. Just having such a good rehabilitation team for my knee. Cause before that I was a decent defender, but I wouldn't say it was, that was one of like my specialties. So I think thing I remember most from sophomore year is really focusing on my defense and upping that and just adding that to my style of play.
Well, that's one of the things too. And I'm sure coaches are excited to hear you say that, because defense is the thing that is going to get you on the court no matter what. So like you said, you may be still working on developing some of these skills, you know, maybe a little bit later start than some in the area, but if you can go out and work hard and play defense, they'll definitely find some time. You got to get time before you can start to score. And then let's go to junior year. So junior year, just continue to have success. The team continues to get better. And so take me through your junior year. What do you remember about that? And ultimately making it to the state championship.
Yeah, junior year, again, another adjustment year. We lose all of our seniors. So we have us four juniors at the time. Myself, Megan Ernie, and then the Kelderman twins, who kind of just led that team and kind of were just thrown into the waters, like really learning how to be a leader then. And you know, we did good. I mean, we made it to the championship game, and I think that's what really propelled us through our senior campaign, is we lost that championship game, and that again puts a chip on your shoulder, and you don't want to feel that again. So I think going into senior season, we knew what we had to get done, what we had to improve on. We had the same group coming back, so that was really cool.
Yeah, I felt like that junior year, probably the headline was maybe a year early, you know, with a lot of you girls and where you were at being, you know, being juniors and maybe not expecting that. And then you guys have a nice run. And that was obviously a really good Johnson team that you ran into in the finals. And then, so if I see this correctly, so obviously freshman year, but I don't have it here, but I want to say it was only like seven games or something in high school. Does that sound right? Maybe three, six, seven, I think maybe yeah. Seven or eight games. And so you keep talking about these transitions and you guys are trying to figure things out, but it's like the only games you're losing are pretty much to Johnston during the year, maybe one to Dowling in there somewhere, and then making it all the way through state. And so then let's fast forward to that senior year. You lose to Johnston in the first matchup. Like you said, you're kind of like, okay, we know what we need to do. And so you guys continue to turn it on and have a really good regular season and then just breeze through the postseason, including the state tournament, and wish that you guys just ran through that state tournament, matching up with Johnston again in the championship and just kind of blowing their doors off. You guys, I was at that game. You guys shot a ridiculous percentage from three. I mean, it was unbelievable. I think I looked up midway through the fourth, maybe start of the fourth, and you guys were shooting like 64% from three, and you had made like 12 or 15 of them at that point. It was crazy. You guys were definitely a team on a mission. And you could tell that. And so what was that like, obviously winning the state championship? And then I always want to know after it's over, like, what's the locker room like? It's got to be a little bittersweet because you accomplished your goals, but you know, those are your girls that you've been playing with. And it's kind of like a goodbye as well.
Yeah. The really cool thing was just, I mean, I grew up playing basketball with Megan and the Keldermans. So to be able to start freshman year of high school with them and then go out with a win, I don't know, that's just a feeling I'll never forget. And not, like you said, not only did we just kind of win, like we dominated that the whole state tournament, so that was really cool and really special. And we just happened to click at the right time after the game. Gosh, pictures and smiles, but a lot of tears. It was so bittersweet, because just knowing I'll never play with those girls ever again really stinks, especially starting my basketball career playing with them. But there's no one else I would have wanted to do it with. I love those girls, still talk to them today. So just a really cool experience.
Yeah, that has to be a neat experience. Not very many teams get to or players get to end their career with a win. And so that's a special moment, and one that you guys will all cherish for a very long time. And so when did recruiting pick up for you, and what was that process like in the recruiting process?
Yeah, so I didn't even have a coach reach out until my sophomore year of high school during the AAU season, and then it kind of just seemed to hit me like a truck. So that, I mean, really cool, but it's really stressful for like as a 10th grader, like getting phone calls, and I'd have to block out 3 hours a night to talk to multiple coaches. And, you know, it's overwhelming. And then deciding at such a young age, I mean, your future 4 years. So, oh yeah, I want to go here. No, I don't want to go there. Like, and it just seemed to happen so fast. I mean, I committed that same, I mean, what, that same year. Yeah. After sophomore AAU season. So I was so overwhelmed. I was like, I'm just ready to make my decision. And Drake obviously has been a really good fit, and I wouldn't change my decision for the world. But yeah, sophomore year, that summer was when recruiting really picked up, and then I was done by October. So that was really nice.
That's impressive for you to be able to make a decision that quick, especially one that big. But just the process, as you mentioned, being able to at that age to one, have to handle that situation and try to decide where you want to go. But then the second part of that is, like you mentioned, it's a lot of work and it's overwhelming. And like, you kind of, I just want to go play basketball. And so it feels like a lot of people, you know, make the decision maybe a little early just to kind of, I want to get this over. You know, not that you were in that boat, it sounds like you made the right decision. And so that's great, but that's a tough, I mean, it's tough. I mean, can you imagine going into, say, your senior year and being like, you know, I'm between these 3-6 schools, whatever it is, and having to balance that as well?
No, and I couldn't imagine doing it for even another 6 months. Like, I was just so overwhelmed. And I think a lot of people get caught up on, well, my coach is telling me to do this, and I have people on Twitter telling me to go here, and, you know, my parents are telling me this. And I think the thing that a lot of student athletes have to remember is that, like, ultimately the decision is yours, and you can't let anyone else change that. I mean, your parents aren't going to school for you. I mean, you're the one that's making the decisions. So yeah, it's really hard, but it's what ultimately what you want to do and where you see yourself in the future.
I love that advice. And I think the fit is the biggest thing too. I mean, you have to, like you said, you're the one that's going there. And so do you fit the school? Do you fit the program? Do you fit the coach? Do you fit the style? You know, so it feels like oftentimes looking for the biggest name or the biggest level or whatever it is, and it's not always the right fit or the best fit. And so finding the fit makes a big difference. But now, so if you committed your sophomore year, then you committed to Jenny, correct?
Correct. Yep.
Yep. Was, so how was that process? So then that would have been after your senior year, right? And she departed for Oklahoma. What was a little bit of the thought process once you heard that news?
Yeah, you know, it was kind of hard because it was funny because Maggie Phipps and I were actually at one of like the All-Star Games postseason, and we had both just gotten a call from Allison telling us that Jenny was leaving. So it was hard to not like be able to say goodbye to Jenny, but just because of the NCAA rules, she literally couldn't tell anyone. And yep. So, you know, we're kind of at this game like, oh my gosh, like what's going on? And then we see ESPN blasted out. So we're just kind of like both like frantic. But I had a great relationship with Jenny. I have a great relationship with Allison, did then, do now. And the transition was really smooth. Allison has been amazing as our head coach. And the best part about Allison is she truly cares about all of us and treats us like her own. So, I mean, I think everyone vouched for Allison when we were told that she was applying for the position. And I just remember the AD calling me and asking my opinion. And I was like, I want Allison. Like, I will be there. If Allison's there, I want her there. And she's just fit the role so well. And it really has been just a seamless transition.
Yeah, I mean, it obvious one too. And just the fact that how long she's been there with the program and the role that she's played leading up to that point. And, you know, obviously when I heard this complete speculation on my end, but when I heard that Jenny was going and Allison wasn't, I was like, okay, well, it feels like this is now Allison's position to have, you know, because Allison very well could have gone with Jenny, like I would have assumed. But it was a good fit. It was awesome for you girls because there wasn't a ton of change as far as system and philosophy, and even staff for that matter. A lot of the staff stayed. And so that, which going full circle back to the beginning, you know, I mentioned you kind of only having the 1 year of transition, and moving into this year probably is a big part of that. And, you know, consistency and being able to keep things as much as the same and start to implement her own stuff and do that. And so, well, that's good. That's awesome. And so what do you remember first time stepping on campus at Drake? Was it, did you do like a summer camp or what do you remember about your first time? So you go, you win state championship in March, you finish, you graduate, you do all the fun stuff. And now it's like, hey, you know, come about 20 miles east here and let's get to work. What do you remember about coming on campus and then kind of picking up basketball and getting going full speed?
Yeah, so pretty quick turnaround from graduation. We moved in June 5th that year. So that was, it was nice to get on campus and kind of, we had a week to kind of get used to everything going on and just meet our new teammates, the ones that we didn't know. So, and then we picked up summer workouts the whole month of June. We have kids camps. So usually, I guess it switches. In the morning, we'll do kids camps for 3, 4, 5 hours or however long the chunk is for that day. And then we'll have practice in the afternoons and vice versa. We switch every week. So we'll have practice in the morning and then camps in the afternoon for the whole month of June. July, it's just straight workouts. And then we get 2 weeks off in August. So it's definitely like go, 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 go right when you get there, kind of, you know, just throw you in the water and just hope you can swim. But I love it. And I love the fast pace here at Drake. And I don't know, it was really like, it was an awakening. Like, oh my gosh, like it's this whole new offense and this whole new team. And I don't know anyone, I don't know what I'm doing, but I'm expected to. But also it's just, it's basketball, it's life. I mean, you have to just learn and adapt. So being here, we took a class in the summer too, so it was kind of nice just to get into the habit of being in school and being at practice and doing camps and doing whatever else we were doing with the team. So yeah, I mean, it's really go, 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 but it's just life.
if you didn't have time management figured out prior, you do is the second you step on campus, because exactly. You got a lot of responsibility and a lot of places you need to be and nobody to tell you, hey, you got to get going. So that's right. Life comes at you pretty fast, no matter, twice as fast if you're an athlete. You know, even college kids in itself, they got their own schedules and stuff that they need to deal with. And so that's awesome. Did you have, so two part question here, did you have a welcome to college basketball moment that maybe happened in practice, and then do you remember like, hey, welcome to the Valley moment, where in a game that you were like, oh geez, okay, here we go?
I guess welcome to basketball was kind of just getting to practices and realizing like how fast paced it is. I mean, you know, you hear people say like college is just a different speed, but until you step on the court and like realize that it's actually a different speed, you can't really comprehend it fully, because it truly is like a different speed. I mean, we go, especially here at Drake, we go from drill to drill to drill to drill, and there's no breaks in between. Like it's just go, 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 go all the time, which is I think it's a special thing about our program, is because we're all so hardworking and driven, young female athletes, which is really cool. And then welcome to the Valley, I guess, I don't even, this isn't even Valley, but just playing the first game and being like, wow, like I'm a college athlete. Like, I don't know, that was just really special and something I'll never forget, but I don't know.
That's good. No, I would agree with you too. I think that the thing that often gets overlooked, regardless of what level it is for a college basketball player, is the daily practice. I mean, it's one thing, you know, we all remember high school practice and what that was like, and ho-hum, you know, it's kind of, we thought we were working hard, but it's like, yeah, you know, and then getting every day in practice, you have to bring it. Otherwise you're going to, you know, someone's going to take it to you. It's a different level. I mean, it's one thing to show up on Tuesdays and Fridays and play really well in high school. It's another thing to show up Monday through Sunday at the college level every day and just have to bring it. And so that's a good adjustment. Good advice too, for any young players out there. And so take me back to freshman year. Now, this is off the cuff, I should have looked this up, but what game was it that you hit the three-pointer to win?
That was against Creighton.
Against Creighton, that's right. So that was that one. Let's see, I was not there. I remember watching that on the live stream. But so take me back to that. Okay, so drawing up a play. Yep, let's have the freshman take the final shot to win this game. Like, what do you remember about that series of events?
Oh, that was welcome to college basketball. That was like, oh my gosh, what just happened? No, but honestly, the final play, that did not go as planned. And I guess just lucky that they fell and I was left wide open. And I don't know. I just shot it. I didn't know how much time was left. I was just like, well, we need a shot, so I guess I'm open. I'll shoot it, I guess. Yeah, that was incredible. That was really kind of like, all right, like this is fun. Like, okay. really a confidence boost, but I mean, couldn't do it without my teammates. Like, I just have such a good support system. So that's the special part too, is like I said earlier, like Allison treats us like we're her own. Same with the whole coaching staff and our whole team. Like, we're sisters, we're family. We spend every day together. We do everything together. We're always around each other. So just having that support too is incredible.
Yeah, and I will say, watching you girls play a lot of games, there is a level of confidence and a level of togetherness where, you know, you guys don't get upset at a quick shot or maybe a shot that was maybe not the best shot you could have gotten that possession. And same goes for the staff too. They have good confidence in you guys making decisions. And so that's huge. And I think it continues to be a big part of your guys' growth. I think you personally too, you mentioned, I mean, hitting that shot, game winner, is like, okay, this guy now got a little confidence, you know, and you kind of continue to step up and continue to improve. And like I said, into this year, it's been a lot of fun to watch you grow. But moving forward then, you know, not putting the cart in front of the horse here, but what would you like to continue to see as from a development standpoint, not only moving through this year, but, you know, continue growth for you and ultimately the Drake Bulldogs?
Yeah, I think personally, and just really, again, like, I think leadership is something that I can always work on and something that'll always be a challenge, but a really good challenge. Bringing my voice is something that Coach has really emphasized this year, and kind of opening my mouth and just kind of more so directing to everyone and being that steady factor. So I think that's something that I'll always continue to improve on and off the court. For the team, we just want to ring. I think we just have so much potential and we play so well together, and we really are starting to click so good, and practices are so fun. And so seeing that translate into games is what's so cool, and constantly having people come out to our games and support us is what makes the game so fun. That's why we all play. So I think just really like stepping into this back half of conference season, like we've kind of changed our mindset to like, we have nothing to lose and we're going to go out and give 110% every game. So I'm really excited to see what it brings on Wednesday.
Yeah, we're excited as well. We'll continue to follow that journey. Before we get to rapid fire though, I got to know how Italy was. How was that trip this last summer?
I can't even comprehend that I went to Italy. It still feels like a dream. I mean, the really cool part was that they let us have a lot of free time, and we did about anything and everything that you could imagine doing in Italy. We even took a trip to Switzerland to get some chocolate. So we were there for a whole 45 minutes, but it still counts.
Yeah, absolutely.
But like, it's just such a special trip. And I really do credit a lot of our team chemistry and our team success this year to that trip. So being able to have our team go on that and being given that experience was really cool. Not only for the fact that we got to go to Italy, but we also got to play 3 games against professional teams. So that was really cool. And like I said, like normally we spend a lot of time together, we're family, but in Italy, like we were together literally all the time. Like, I guess I see it as a good thing. So I mean, it's just nice. It was incredible. There's no words to describe that trip. Like, just really, really special.
Yeah, that's a really neat opportunity for all of you. And like you said, it definitely is going to bring you together. You kind of move the distractions. Obviously, you guys spend a lot of time together, but you also have other lives going on during the season, schoolwork and travel and all that stuff. And when you're able to take those trips, it definitely helps the chemistry and just helps you guys kind of connect. And it looked like it definitely worked. Like I said, that's now the third time, I think, coming back to that quick transition for you guys going from year one to year two. And so that was probably a big part. So whoever idea and whoever put that together, kudos, because it seemed to definitely work out. And so, well, good, Katie, appreciate you taking some time and chatting with us. Before I let you get out of here though, we got to do rapid fire. We always end each podcast with some rapid fire. And so I'm going to spit some questions at you here quick. Some about basketball, some not, but you just tell me the first thing that comes to your mind. All right. It's not painful, I promise. Okay, first one. What's your favorite visiting gym or arena?
Oh, you know, probably Missouri State, just because they get a lot of fans. And so it's always fun to just go there and play our hearts out and kind of prove the fans wrong.
That's a good one. Missouri State. What about in the CIML? Do you have a favorite visiting one that you like to go to?
I mean, Johnston, Dowling, always good. Again, get a lot of fans, and I always love when there's more people and it's packed and people are chirping at you. I don't know, kind of just lights a fire.
Yeah, no, that Dowling gym, while old, it just brings a character and kind of is a lot of fun to be in. So that's not surprised that comes to your list, especially if you like those moments. I can see where if you don't like the moments and the loudness and the noise, that you're probably like, no, not Dowling, because every game is going to be that way. So, well, good. Do you have a certain game day routine or something that you have to do leading up to the game?
Honestly, no. I don't know. I really don't. I always have to listen to music before games. I guess that's not really a routine, but no, I really don't have like a ritual that I do every game.
That's interesting. A lot of people do and some people don't. And so we always like to ask. And the reason why I specifically asked you tonight, because do you know your teammate Megan Myers' game day routine that she does? She has to do like everything in her jersey. She like naps and eats and does that in full jersey.
Like, how did you know that?
Yeah, jersey, shorts, like warm up, sock, like everything, full uniform. It was one of the wildest game day routines that we've had on the pod. So I was like, I got to see if Katie does anything. But the music's pretty normal. Which actually, so I'll jump to that question. Is there a song or an artist or somebody that you have to have on your playlist?
I like the song Wolves. That's probably like my pregame, like hype up. I don't know. I like a lot of like, just like songs that you would hear at games that are just kind of like got a good beat to them, you know, get you going a little bit, but yeah, a lot of rap. That's all it is.
I feel like that's always hard. It's a fun question because I like to hear what people say, but it's always hard because it changes so much, you know, because all of a sudden you find a song and then you're like, yeah, this is it. And then 2 weeks later, you find something different. But do you have a favorite sports movie?
Happy Gilmore.
Ooh, that's a good one. I like that. So you golf at all? Do you get out and swing a minute?
So my dad's a golf pro by trade. So my dad and my brother are huge golfers. My brother's going to UNI to play golf. So I go sometimes. I used to go a lot more when I was younger, and then my brother started getting really good and I'm too competitive to go and lose to my brother. So I like going to like the driving range because you don't have to keep score, and you know, you see a good hit and you're like, yeah, I'm good. But no, I'm not a huge golfer.
Oh wow, that's interesting that you hadn't picked that up. I will say, with that much golf in your family, you will at some point. Maybe that fills the void for you when you no longer play basketball. So whatever that is, 5-10 years down the road, you'll be like, all right, this is my competitive outlet. But that's interesting to learn. So best pizza in Des Moines. Who do you got? We love pizza on the pod.
I'm gonna have to go with Doco, just because it's so convenient. So it's nice to just walk over there and get a slice of pizza.
that's good. We like that. We're all about pizza on the pod too. So we take any and all names. It's funny too, because we'll get asked from listeners, or I'll see somebody and they'll come up like with a new recommendation, like, hey, you need this pizza. And so it's funny how pizza and basketball just for whatever reason come together. All right. So why number 10? Why do you wear 10?
That's a good question. My first jersey was 10. So I just stuck with it. There's no meaning behind it. Once I had it, it's like, all right, we'll stick with 10. Just have always stuck with it.
Well, that's good. We talked a little bit off air, but 10 is now my 6-year-old's favorite number too. And that's largely because of you. And so that's a credit to you. She loves coming and watching you play. She's always like, where's number 10? And now she knows it's Katie. And so she's like, where's Katie? And we have one of the big boards in the hallway. She goes and finds number 10. And then the other day too, she's like, you know what my favorite number is? And I was like, 10. And she's like, yep, 10, because of Katie. So credit to you. I appreciate you being a role model. That's huge for us.
gosh, that's just so awesome. Like I told you, like, that's why I play. I love having kids come up. Oh my gosh, like, you played so good. Like, that makes me want to cry. Like, I start tearing up half the time. But yeah, that's why I play. And if I can have just a little bit of an impact on the next generation, like, it's all I want. So
that's awesome. I think her dream day would be if she could go out and shoot with you and Griff. Like, if you and Griff were just out there running around, that would be, she'd probably do a few cartwheels and some of that stuff too, but she would, that's like probably her dream day. So,
oh, that's so awesome.
Couple more here and I'll get you out of here. But so we talked about pizza, but what's your favorite restaurant? Do you have a favorite restaurant that, and if it, the more hidden, the better. You're native of Central Iowa here, so if you got something, maybe even back, you know, in, I know you're, so you're a West Des Moines address, but Waukee schools, right? And so yeah. You're over on the west side. What do you got? What's your favorite? What's your go-to?
Oh, I'm a big sushi lover. So anywhere that has sushi, I'll always go. I love Samurai. I love Hibachi. So Samurai would probably be like my number. If I could choose anywhere to go, I would probably go to Samurai and get shrimp hibachi. That would probably be my go-to. It's phenomenal and it never misses. But yeah, I'm a really big sushi girl. So my teammate Ashley and I, we go to Waterfront and get sushi all the time. So that's our favorite place.
That's good. No, that's awesome. It might even be the first time we had sushi on the pod. So you're just hitting a lot of firsts here. We love it. So two more. So okay. If Coach Allison goes out there right now in best of 10, how many, roughly, just ballpark it, how many teammates does she beat from the free throw line best of 10 right now?
Now you're really putting me on the spot. I'm gonna go, she's gonna lose every time. I'm gonna have faith in my teammates.
Okay, I like it. So you're telling me that Allison can't play anymore, or what's the deal?
Oh, she can play. She's feisty, but I don't know. I just have faith in my teammates.
That's good. That's a good answer. I said I wouldn't set you up. That was probably the only one I set you up on, but That was a good answer. And so then I'll leave on this note. What is the best thing about having the opportunity to be a Drake Bulldog?
Gosh, definitely the community. Just the fans, our coaching staff, our players, the professors at Drake's campus, having family and friends close by, having people from the Des Moines area. I don't think it's everywhere. You don't see it everywhere. So I think Drake is just a really, really special place. And you can, like I've said, like, you can see us on the court. Like, we all have so much love and respect and confidence for one another. And like, those girls are my best friends, and I will continue to be best friends with them throughout the rest of my life. So Drake is a really, really special place. And on top of that, it's one of the best mid-majors in the country, so getting that amazing education is just like a cherry on top.
No, that is good, and I will agree too. The support that you guys have, but then the support you give back and talking with fans and sticking around is awesome. It's a really neat environment for any basketball fan, for families to be able to go and enjoy the Knapp Center and watch you girls play. It's been awesome. And which, actually, as you were saying that, I can't believe we didn't talk about the Iowa game. We got to talk about this real quick. How about that Iowa game? And that atmosphere was wild. Like, I've been to a lot of big games at the Knapp Center, men's games too, when Doug McDermott was in town, like going way back. Obviously, Caitlin has a big part to do with that, but that environment in the new Knapp, I mean, everything, that was wild. Like, what do you remember about that, and how fun was that, even though you would have liked to come up on the other end?
Well, first of all, yeah, I really wanted to win that game. I really thought we had them, but gosh, they are just such a phenomenal team. So even to be able to go into overtime with them, like, that was a good way to start. I mean, it stinks to lose, but a good way to start our season. But gosh, I remember just like, we go out with 70 minutes on the clock to warm up. And like, usually, you know, there's some straggler fans sitting down already, but like, almost the whole lower bowl was already full, and we're just kind of looking around like, oh my gosh, it's gonna be packed. And I mean, like you said, like I love that atmosphere. So for me, that was a really fun game. Again, the support from our fans, incredible. Like, give all like respect to them and appreciate them coming out to every game. And then our student section was full, which is like so rare. So to like see that many students want to come, and maybe it was for Caitlin and maybe they wanted to see her play, but it doesn't matter because we got so many fans. I mean, yeah, that is a game I will never forget.
Yeah, that was a really neat experience. It's something, so I took my oldest daughter too. And so admittedly, I have a pass obviously to get in, so it's really easy. So I probably cut it a little too close most of the times heading down to the Nap, and usually it's not that big of an issue. So we were cutting it a little close, and I was like trying to find a parking spot. I was like, oh, this, like, it's going to be, I told my daughter before going, I'm like, it's going to be packed when we get in there, just because of how far away we ended up parking. And then we get in there, and yeah, the whole lower bowl is all blue and filled in, and then obviously black and yellow around the top. And it was neat. It was awesome for you guys. Awesome for women's basketball, just to have that experience. The 2 o'clock Sunday game was genius too, whoever came up with that. And that was a good time for everybody, a lot of families, a lot of little girls in attendance. And so that was a really neat experience as well. Like I said, we would have liked to have seen you guys come out on the winning end of that, but I'm sure it'll be something that you'll always remember. And so, Katie, we appreciate you taking some time chatting with us, getting to know you a little bit more, sharing your story. We're anxious to follow you the rest of this year and your career at Drake. Stay in touch, and thanks again for taking some time to chat with us.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me.